The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, this is Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Jake Runyon.
And by our powers combined, we are the Canned Air Podcast. But right now, you're listening to the PVD Cast.
To a new installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 158, the Wizard World Wrap-Up Show. Oh man, I've been very excited to piece together this episode because, as you know, I was at Wizard World Columbus just 2 weeks ago, and it was a fantastic time. Of course, as I normally do at conventions, I teamed up with Brian Lau of Staunch Ambition fame, and we worked the table, but we also had a blast doing a couple of other things, including the big rematch for Remake Revolution with Mike McGee TV, which, by the way, you should go over to Mike McGee's YouTube channel and check out not only the episode of Remake Revolution, but also he has some bloopers from the con, including yours truly, who could not get the most simplest line out of my mouth while doing the little intro for the Remake Revolution video that we did early Saturday morning. I just couldn't get it. I had another complex line that I spit out in two takes, but this one, so simple, but it took like eight takes. But nonetheless, check out Mike McGee TV. Just go over to YouTube, Google Mike McGee TV, and then subscribe to it so you don't have to ever like search for it again in YouTube. So I want to thank, of course, Three Geeks Podcast for allowing me to kind of team up with them to do some interviews. And boy, do I have quite a few interviews that you're going to hear in this episode. Got an opportunity to talk to Daniel Logan, which many of you probably would know him as Young Boba Fett from episode 2 of Star Wars. Of course, Brian Krause, who was on the show Charmed, Lanny Sarum, and Thomas Ian Nicholas. Of course, Tom and Ian Nicholas from the fame of American Pie and Rookie of the Year. Lanny Sarum, of course, the author of Handbook for Mortals. Cato Kalin, the host of Wizard World. I got a chance to talk to him. And, of course, Hercules himself, Kevin Sorbo. So you're going to hear all about that. You're also going to hear a couple of quick interviews from some folks that stopped by the Staunch Ambition table to pick up Brian's book. And I want to just shine a light on one individual, one customer that stopped by the table, Mr. Tony Goins, who has a fantastic podcast himself called Distress Frequency. It's like an audio drama, but in podcast form, and it's really interesting. I've been listening to a couple of episodes of only about 15, 20 minutes an episode, and they're really, really good, especially if you like audio dramas, which I've always wanted to sample audio drama, and I had the opportunity to do so with Distress Frequency. So definitely check out Tony's work. Distressfrequency.com is the easiest way to go and find all of the episodes. Other highlights from Wizard World Columbus, the opportunity to be on two panels. Obviously, Remake Revolution was one panel, but the other panel, teaming up with Mike McGee and Three Geeks Podcast to talk about comics and movies and whatnot. So that was awesome. Overall, it was a great weekend, and I'm happy to put out this episode. But as I'm recording here, the intro for this podcast on Wednesday evening, I do got a comment about some breaking news in the wrestling world. It was reported earlier today that Leon White, aka Vader, or some of us remember him as Big Van Vader, had passed away Monday night at the age of 63. And Vader had been battling congestive heart failure for a while, and unfortunately that took his life. And I just reminisce a little bit here today about the first time that I saw Vader. At the time, he was Big Van Vader in WCW, and I just was so impressed with a guy that size that could move around the ring. He was powerful. At that time, he had the Mastodon helmet from Japan that, you know, blew the smoke, and that was so cool. But he quickly became a favorite of mine. And then I think back to 2003, 2004, when Bull Miller and the IWA brought Vader in for an independent show down in Lancaster, Ohio. DJ Joey Blaze and myself went down, and I think we've told the story many times on the PVD cast how DJ Joey Blaze and myself being loud, obnoxious fans, and there weren't that many fans, sadly, in attendance. We decided to chant the fuck 'em up, Vader, fuck 'em up chant, in which Vader turned and looked at us and yelled, "There are children in the audience," at which point, after a few seconds, DJ Joey Blaze and I looked at each other and then started chanting, "We're sorry, Vader," clap, 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 clap. So it made him laugh, and I will always remember that very small interaction with Leon White, the man called Vader. And so rest in peace, Vader, and my thoughts go out to your family during this difficult time. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the fun of Wizard World, let me tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I mean, man, look, we're going to be talking to lots of folks from Hollywood that have been in movies and TV shows, and if you're interested in that type of stuff, Audible has a book for you. So all you got to do to download your free audiobook today is to go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, let's go back in time to just 2 weeks ago when yours truly was at Wizard World Columbus. All right, folks, we're sitting down here with Daniel Logan. Daniel, how are you?
I'm phenomenal, brother. I'm here at Wizard World in Ohio, Columbus, to be matter of fact, and it's a good Friday.
Have you ever been to Ohio before?
I don't think so. I'm not too sure. You know, they all start to run together after so many years of conventions, but they don't have a passport for domestic flights, you know?
Right.
So I only have to go back on the internet and Daniel Logan, Ohio, and then...
See how many times
I've
been there. It's like,
2002.
Wow, I've actually been here 14 times.
Exactly.
So you started, obviously, acting. You were very young. Are you a Star Wars fan now, or were you interested in Star Wars at all when you got the part as Boba Fett, or was it just kind of like, hey, I got this thing, now I'm in the middle of this gigantic universe?
Well, it was kind of weird of how it all popped up. See, I grew up in New Zealand, and back in the day, I was a little too shy to tell people, but you know, I grew up on welfare. My mom raised 6 kids on welfare by herself, so we only had 3 TV channels on our TV. And matter of fact, at like 9:45, a little Kiwi bird would come on the TV and wish everyone good night, and the TV would shut off. So like after a certain amount of time, you wouldn't even have TV. So Star Wars never came by any of the channels, because I grew up in between episode 6 and 1. With, people don't realize, but there was 16 years of no Star Wars.
Oh, I realize.
Right? Yeah. So growing up in that era, having none of that to be able to go back and watch or be replayed on every channel, I never had heard of it. So when I auditioned for the movie, I was one of the only kids out of all those thousands that said I'd never heard of Star Wars. And then now I get backlash on the internet all the time, like, well, that kid didn't deserve the role because he didn't even like Star Wars. But if you ask me now, not only am I the biggest Star Wars fan, but I am the biggest Boba Fett fan. Like, I was talking with one of these guys in LA last night, and a friend of mine was like, oh, you gotta talk to him. He's like the biggest Star Wars, like, buff. So I started going back and forth about, like, my armor and the Sideshow Collectibles new armor that they had coming out for about $8,000. And we started going back and forth. I started picking the armor apart, and he's like, well, oh man, you're really hardcore, aren't you? And I'm like, well, tell you the truth, if you're gonna spend that much money and not be able to wear something, you should at least have it to where it's movie, you know, accurate replica, you know? And then, you know, going back to other stories, it's like, I talked with a couple of my other friends. You know, I got a friend, his name's Wasted Fan on Instagram. And we're like, well, what armor could I build me next? So I was thinking about going with a brand new Stormtrooper. I just like that whole new Stormtrooper look. So I'm like, why don't we make a Stormtrooper? He's like, no, bro, you can't be a Stormtrooper. So I'm like, what are you talking about? So we're having these arguments. He's like, dude, you could be Jango Fett, you could be Boba, you could be Special Edition Holiday Spirit, like, you know, all these other, you could be Commander Cody, but you can't be a Stormtrooper. So then we're arguing, why not, right? So then he goes back to the backstory. Well, Stormtroopers ain't clone troopers. Clone troopers were wiped out out there. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, but there were a few of us left, you know?
You know, like, yeah. And who's to say that you know, who's to say Boba Fett wouldn't sneak into the First Order and rock the armor? Maybe he's trying to figure out what everyone else has got going on. Like, I feel like he's being a hater.
Exactly.
That's not cool.
I love it, you know? But that's how in detail my conversations now about Star Wars, you know? They're so in depth that we start getting, like, personal about different things that we see Star Wars as. And I think that's what Star Wars is over being such a generational franchise. You've really picked up different generations that one generation like this, they don't like the next, and they don't like the next, or they do like the next. But then you give it a few years, and then they're like, oh, well, hey, that's not so bad, you know? And it just becomes something that they're like, oh, hey, I didn't really open my mind to seeing it because it wasn't my Star Wars, but once I've seen it so many times, it actually isn't too bad, or I can relate to some of that storyline, you know?
Now, I have to, full disclosure, I am actually a Boba Fett hater, because they don't actually show him doing anything cool, but he's right, getting right. He's getting more opportunity now. There's talks about a Boba Fett movie, so I'm interested to see him do something cool.
But if I may, why do you think Boba Fett is so popular? Because so many people love that character,
and he hasn't actually done anything.
Yeah, well, to kind of piggyback off,
not much besides falling asleep like Ben.
He got taken out by a blind guy on accident. I'm just saying.
But why do you think Daniel? He's so popular with people.
I think what it really came down to, truthfully, guys, is that it was in a time of when people were just coming back from war. You know, we're in a quiet period, and we had militants that needed something to identify to.
Okay.
And people have asked me this question for years, and, you know, over these years of sitting and thinking about what truly it is, I think truly it was the military veterans that actually supported this character because they related to him so much. He was a soldier. He had all these different mechanical parts that you used for storage.
Okay.
The guns he used were something more where a military person was able to relate to. Well, the militants picked it up, and that's where we started doing the 501st challenge coins and stuff like that, right? Which was very militant of it. But I felt like he was related to by a whole bunch of people that were able to connect to this character because of their career path that they chose to take in life. And then when a whole bunch of the military opened up and said, man, I love that guy. I wish I was Boba Fett. Other people started giving the guy a chance. And then from there, they started saying, wow, this character's so great. Why don't we make a backstory? And then all these backstories that started becoming to life, really, because of the love for this character, made that character so much bigger than what he was for that couple of seconds or minute on the original screen.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
We were doing something in the Clone Wars where we started going somewhere like fantastic, and like I can't really talk about it because I don't know if they're going to re-pick them ever up, but I mean they started doing what we all wanted to see Boba doing, but as a little kid,
right?
You know, and to tell you that kid is badass.
I have seen the Clone Wars episodes, and again, like, they are trying to show
we stopped
where
at
Boba
had
Fett
been.
Yeah.
It was terrible because that was just the beginning of the arc to make that whole entire like animation again,
right?
Like the Clone Wars had arcs, you know, it was never just like ba 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 ba, but when Boba came in, you started seeing that roller coaster bang up again, you know what I mean? And it started living out, but where they were gonna go with the arcs again, it was just gonna, it was gonna make it to where he fit right in the universe. Without saying too much.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the signal. We gotta wrap up, Daniel.
Okay.
So, real quickly, where can people find you on the internet? What projects do you got coming up and whatnot?
I'm on Instagram, Daniel Logan.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook, Daniel-Logan, and also on Twitter. I just did a project with some of the Funko guys. They have the Asia Funko group, and also a video company, a video game company called Valve. They did a lot of the original games, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they got together, they collaborated, and they now produced a game that's called, a movie that we filmed in China and the Philippines that's called The Underdog Rising.
Okay.
And it's basically, the premise is basically set around the video game Dota 2.
Okay. Yep.
If you guys are familiar with Dota is phenomenal. It's actually got a humongous following all around the world, and they would have these tournaments in, say, like the Staples Center in LA, and they would actually literally sell out every single seat just for people to go and watch these, not really kids, half adults playing games. And, you know, and it's incredible. But this movie is basically about the life of these gamers and what it entails to become a gamer and basically the backstory of some of these gamers' lives. Not every gamer gets sponsors, supporting nutritionists, you know, like all these different coaches.
Yeah.
Some come from nothing, and they have to form a team where they find each other. They're playing in someone's like a basement or an apartment.
Yep.
You know, one team has like a nutrition who's cooking for them and providing first class meals, and then you have them who are eating top of ramen and like these small meals. You know, but it's all about underdogs rising, and it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It goes to show, if you have the heart for the game, you can win in the end.
All right,
thank you for stopping by, Daniel. It was a pleasure. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day, and stay tuned because there's many more great interviews ahead from Wizard World, Ohio.
Thanks, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here at Wizard World with Bagman, Handbag, and Bagpipe. And avid listeners of this podcast remember these fine gentlemen from last year's Wizard World. Guys, how is it going?
Outstanding. It's good. We finally found out what the origins of Bagman is.
Oh. What is the origins? Oh,
he rose up from the ocean when the whales spit up plastic bags, and he sucked them all in and became Bagman. It's great for the environment.
That's right. You go.
And that's scientifically sound because I've studied whale puke for years.
Yes.
I have a bachelor's in whale puke.
Uh-huh.
And that's the scientific term
and
for
whale puke. What college did that come from?
It was the South Dakota State. National College of Whale Puke.
Okay. Well, anyways.
we'll be here next year again because this is the most exciting convention I've been at. And, you know, my fans, please look me up on Twitter and Flitter and whoever else is in there.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of conventions in the bag. So to say
that means a lot. It is. So you guys picked up issue 3 of Staunch Ambition.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to pick it up? To be a completist and have them all?
That is part of it. We have the others from last year.
Preview issue.
They were a good read. The art's fantastic. Really, it's an affordable book. It's a good read.
Yeah,
the autograph is just fabulous.
Well, there you go.
And the autograph is part of it, the autograph.
And don't forget, you get great music, too.
Yes,
it'll
I
be in your inbox.
Music, and I'm going to be sending them a new song.
It'll be in your inbox, too.
This is exciting.
There you go. All right.
Well, says Bagman.
All right, well, gentlemen, thanks for stopping by the table. We appreciate it.
All right, see you.
Thanks. All right, we're sitting down with Brian Krause. Brian, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How's it going?
It's going well. How's Wizard World treating you?
Horribly.
Really? I hear that a lot. I'm kidding.
No,
I'm kidding.
It's fantastic. It's great to be in Columbus.
I was going to ask, is this your first time?
I think I was here 5 years ago, 2013.
Okay.
It was the year before Ohio State won the championship.
National football.
2012. So, all I'm going to say is you're welcome. I'm one for one.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
We appreciate that. So. Hopefully that'll transfer on. I mean, it's, you know, we're a little out from football season, but hopefully that'll transfer
on. No, we're not.
I'm just saying, put your money down now because...
Done.
Okay, good.
And if you got the word from on high, I know you're on Charmed. You have the inside scoop on these sort of things.
Hey,
so.
I'm just going statistically.
Well, right, you played Andy on Charmed, and your character was a handyman. So, are you handy? Can you redo a living room?
Yeah,
how much
acting was that?
Yeah, how much acting?
Actually,
you do a lot of woodworking and stuff like that.
I used to actually. Yeah.
All right.
I initially auditioned for Andy Trudeau, which was the character that was married to Shannon.
Okay.
And then, I didn't get it, and then came back, and I was actually retrofitting a house the day I got the audition for Leo Wyatt, and I had to leave work, go to this thing, I'm dirty, whatever, and, you know, it didn't go, I had a couple of auditions, or callbacks in that same day, and then, you know, I had to call back to work and say I couldn't come back, and I'm thinking, man, I'm losing out on making $100 today. You know what I mean?
These guys
keep pushing the call. And then I finally got in the room with Aaron Spelling, who I had met previously quite a few times. And in his casting office, there's 20 people sitting on one couch. And you're performing and they're all sitting there. And it's one of the most nervous rooms. And it's like his office was like 5,000 square feet of just empty space with a desk and a chair. And you stood up in front of the couch, this huge, long couch with 20 people on it. And I walked in and I said, "Well, Mr. Spelling, it's nice to see you again." And he said, "Oh, it's nice to meet you."
Uh-oh.
I was crushed because I had met him so many times on different auditions for 90210 and everything else he had. And at that moment, I just felt like my career, everything was, it just pissed me the hell off. I gave this reading for just anger, like, screw you.
But it got you the role,
right? I did anything. I put myself down. I walked out. I was bummed that, I wasn't making $100 doing construction that day. And,
But you got the final call.
Yeah.
That worked out. All right, that's awesome.
Sorry, that's such a long
answer. No. It sounds like a good reality TV show, though. I mean, I'd like to put 20 people on a couch and then just, like, make other people.
Well, maybe not in 2018. That might be pushing some boundaries there.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of boundaries, people that's on the couch. What's your thoughts on the reboot of Charm?
Yeah.
Do you have mixed feelings, or...?
Mixed feelings, for sure.
Okay.
Obviously, I hope the show does well. I'm happy that a Charm is coming out for the fans.
Okay.
For the Ultra fan, it's fantastic. It's kind of like Solo to Star Wars, or, any offshoot to an Avenger movie, or whatever it might be. So, it's a new idea. It's a reboot. I think it'd be great if the show gets picked up, they would decide to bring Holly or one of the other actors back that I think would really legitimize it for the fans. So often we get reboots. I love television too. Reboots are a thing to me that I'm like, oh man, really? You're gonna make that again? Yeah, they just made that last year. That just came out and you're rebooting it. So.
Oh, no, now it's retro. If it came out 7 months ago, it's retro.
What
now.
The heck? Yeah. Listen to that with the other guy. I hope it goes well for them.
Cool.
And if we can be a part of it in any way, then who knows?
So, what advice would you give aspiring actors or actresses? I don't know. That laugh tells me this is going to be a good answer.
Apparently,
all right.
Get sweaty, get pissed, and do your audition.
Be prepared. Work your butt off, and it's got to be a goal that. Like becoming anything, doctor, lawyer, athlete, whatever you want to be, it's you have to believe it and want it more than anything you want anything else on the planet, and then do whatever you can to go get it within, a moral constraint, of course, and work every day at it, and, it's got to be what you love to do, whether you're doing it or you're not, and good luck.
So any last things you want to plug?
Or where can everyone find you?
I'm on Instagram, Brian Krause, 2-1. Twitter, The Brian Krause. There's Facebook. I have a little Facebook, but mostly on Instagram. I just shot 8 episodes of a TV show called First List. It's a crime drama, FBI guy.
Cool.
First List. That'll be out next year. 8 episodes of that. I'm working on a movie. Friend Mark Ralston and called me and Michael. It's about homelessness and a true story based on his character, Brie, and homeless character, and their friendship and developing that. So that's currently what's happening.
So First List, what channel are you guys going to be on, or where does that come
from? Not sure. It's a French company that came over, and this is the first time they've ever made anything in English. So they've done really well in the Arab markets and everything else, and this is the first time they're making a Western show. This guy, Maji Samiri, he's a most incredible artist. He was a professional breakdancer at one time. And then he gave him a camera. He shot his own music videos and whatever. Everybody told him he's great. Next thing you know, he's doing it for everybody. And now he's a DP, a cameraman, the director. Like, he's doing it all. And he makes this show is going to be beautiful. So they're going to try and sell the full 8 episodes to hopefully Netflix, if you're listening.
Netflix, Amazon Prime,
Hulu, Crackle, those type of things. So,
cool.
I have no doubt it'll get on the air somewhere.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It, Brian. I hope the rest of the con is excellent for you.
Awesome for you as well. Thank you.
Thanks,
you're so welcome.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's day 2 of Wizard World, and I'm here with Mike. Mike, you stopped by the table to buy issues 1 and 2 because you already have. issue three. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
All right. So you backed the Kickstarter for issue three. How'd you find out about the Kickstarter and issue three?
Well, basically, I'm a huge fan of Clayton Crane, saw him on Instagram, and then saw this amazing cover, and then I traced back the roots of what is this whole book about, and then found out I was from a Michigan-based creator, and I'm from Michigan, so like put the little two and two together, like I gotta back up this Kickstarter. You gotta love Michigan, gotta love Detroit, love Clayton Crane, so it was a no-brainer for me.
Well, excellent. Awesome. You know, it's not too often we have people that kind of work their way backwards, so to speak, going with issue three and then stopping by to pick up issues two and three, or two and one. So, are you excited to read one and two?
I can't wait to read one and two. So.
Did you read three already?
I've not read three.
Okay.
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail. Oh, so.
Well.
Now I get to read one and two, and then when I get three, it's going to be extra special.
There you go. Well, Mike, thank you very much for stopping by the table, man.
Hey, nice meeting you guys.
Thanks.
I think Tom's going to keep playing while we're here
during
the interview. I hope that's okay.
You know what? That's okay.
That's the level for you.
It's Wizard World Columbus and anything goes. We're sitting down here with Thomas Ian Nichols and, of course, Lanny Sarum as Thomas is playing...
Bad girl of the New York bestsellers list. You have to throw
yeah.
that out.
Yeah, you're like an outlaw.
I am. I was on the New York Times bestseller list for 23 hours. I'm the only person that's ever happened with. I'm infamous. I like being infamous.
So if you ever go to jail, you already have street cred.
I do. I have street cred.
You'd be like, I got thrown off the New York Times bestseller. You better back up.
That's my street cred. They're like, how many people did you murder? I'm like, I didn't murder anyone, but I got kicked off the New York Times bestseller list. What? Wait, why am I in jail? Why did I go to jail?
You can think of some good reason to go to jail. I mean,
well.
You know, there was a book of someone at our distribution company, and when everything was going down, they we were like, you know, asking them like what they thought about it, and they said, you know, New Time authors ask us all the time, like, what can I do to get my book out there? And they said, you could kill someone with your book. So.
There you go.
So maybe what we chose was better?
Yeah. Okay. Don't kill anyone with my book.
Lanny may have been kicked off the New York Times bestseller list, but nobody died in the process.
Yeah, there you go. Don't kill anyone with my book, please. That's not what I said.
So just read the book.
Just read the book.
That's all you need. Read, enjoy it, share it with others.
There we go.
Don't use it to bludgeon
someone.
You guys
have it at your store, so,
oh, yeah.
you can find
copy at BGMX in Columbus, Ohio, if you're ever in the area.
Yep. There's also a few signed copies at the Barnes & Noble in Columbus as well in Easton and other Barnes & Nobles across the country.
All right. But you guys are working on the movie.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that at all? Or?
It's going to be a movie.
Is it going to be a musical? Just curious.
Not going to be a musical, there would be some music in it. There is a, you know, there are some characters that are in a band, and there's definitely at least a montage scene of some music, and who knows, you know, Tom has a band, and even though Tom's band isn't in the movie, maybe we'll put some of Tom's songs in the movie.
You're going to have to talk to me about this.
You're going to have to get with my people. Say anything right
Tom,
now.
Tom, can we put some of your music in the movie?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Tom, can I ask a quick question? In your illustrious acting career, have you ever turned down a role?
Illustrious. That's a.
Did you like that adjective?
I did. I like that adjective. I've never been referred to as illustrious before.
Well, mark it down. It happened here.
To be fair, he called your career illustrious.
Oh, fair
not
enough.
You.
Fair enough. Well, right before I did American Pie, I actually I almost did a movie with Ernest Borgnine and a giant turtle.
And
I turned that down to do American Pie. I think I made the right decision.
Yeah, I think so too.
Who ended up being in that movie? Didn't we meet
them?
Did
it even end up getting made?
I have no idea. Yeah, I got made.
It's out there. You can look it up.
I technically had to like actually break my contract because I think I was signed on to it. But it was a good thing to.
What was it called? Do you remember?
No, I don't want to remember.
I'm gonna look this up.
Okay. I was fascinated by it because I'm thinking about how many people are struggling to get into Hollywood, and you know, folks take any role they can get. And I just was curious if that had ever come where you said, "Well, I don't know about this role, and I'm going to turn it down and cross my fingers I get something better." You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think not to like, you know, accidentally judge someone for their last work. Sure. They say, you know, I get judged for mine. I'm only as good as my last job.
Right.
So I think, you know, the idea is when I read something, I kind of look at who's making it. And so sometimes I'll choose not to be a part of something based upon the, you know, previous work of the folks involved.
Okay.
It was called Everybody Loves Mel.
Everybody loves Mel?
Everyone Loves Mel.
That was not the original title.
Ernest Borgnine. Also, it ended up starring, Julie Haggerty, Greg, can you read that name? Greg
Evigan?
Jack Scalia, and Bud Hall. There's Mel. All
right. Mel the turtle.
Mel the turtle.
An actor ever made.
Yeah.
Everybody
Dodging
loves.
Bullets.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Directed by Joey Travolta?
Yeah.
Huh.
Really?
Is Joey Travolta John Travolta's something?
Maybe.
That kind of sounds like a name you would see in an episode of Catfish. My name is Joey Travolta.
Set in the beauty of the Pacific Northwest, the legend of Swanson Lake is kept by one man, Bill, who's Ernest Borgnine, and he's not about to surrender it. When Bill's grandsons come for a summer visit, they stumble into a big-time adventure with giant turtle named Mel.
That would have been
when
time.
Bill's neighbor, Bailey, Jack Scalia, tries to kidnap Mel in order to feature him in a proposed theme park, the grandsons plot to hide Mel from the neighbor. Then the fun begins.
That's when the fun begins.
And Mel becomes an unlikely hero.
I think we're going to make Dan watch that movie.
Hey, can this be an episode of Guilty Pleasure Treasure, Mike? Can we do that?
I can give you some names of other movies that I have done and why I turn things down now.
Bug Hall. I think Bug Hall is the kid that replaced you, right?
Yes.
Bug Hall.
Bug Hall.
I can give you one, Judge and Jury.
That was an excellent
that was one,
film.
One that I didn't know. Excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
If I'm understanding your guilty pleasure thing, it's
Mike, get out a pen. Write these down.
The movies we love to watch that are terrible, right?
Throw your eggs into those baskets.
I don't understand how to.
Are you
my
winning
eggs.
At this game, Tom?
There you go.
I don't know. He's not losing, but
he's
I don't
not losing.
He's
but he's not maybe not doing
he
spectacular.
I don't. Yeah.
I have no idea what I just did.
He doesn't know how to do it again.
So, Lanny, you're first cousins with JC from NSYNC?
Yes.
Did people bring that up all the time? That was a great transition, wasn't it? This was fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm a pro. What can I say?
My dad and his dad are brothers.
Okay.
So that makes us cousins.
Yeah?
Yep.
How's family reunions?
They're good. My dad and his dad are they're the only siblings, so we're all pretty close. I have two younger brothers, and then Josh has a younger brother and sister. But Josh and I are the only ones that are kind of in the entertainment business and live on the West Coast, everyone else on the East Coast. So I'm addicted to escape games, Tom and I both are, and I've actually gotten my cousin Josh, or JC, addicted to escape games. So what's funny is, so Tom and I do all the Comic-Cons, and originally when we started doing them and someone knew that we're related, they were like, hey, would JC ever do one? Because some of the other NSYNC guys do them, like Joey and Chris. And so I asked JC, and he was like, I don't know, maybe. Like, he wasn't like all like, yeah, let's do it. But he knows that we go and do escape games in every city. And so after we did like one a few weeks ago, he was like, you know, I could come try a Wizard World sometime. I could come do a Comic-Con. You guys do the escape games afterwards, right? I'm like, you're going to come to a Comic-Con just to come to escape games.
Hey, whatever works.
Two birds, right?
Whatever works.
It does get awkward sometimes at weddings, though. So, like, my little brother got married a couple years ago, and the DJ, like, just started to play Bye 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 and then kept saying over the microphone, like, hey, does anyone know the dance to this song? I feel like someone here knows. And I was actually in the middle of a conversation with JC, and I was like, hey, there. He goes, just keep talking. Like, just don't stop talking. So it's weddings. And then, you know, there was, like, he went up to get coffee, and then my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, like, you know, a lot of her friends were there. And all of a sudden I saw this line of, like, girls, like, waiting for coffee and to get photos, so so, you know, but it's fun. He's a good sport about it.
Tom, can I ask your character in American Pie, Kevin?
How much of that character is based on you?
None of it. It wasn't written for me.
Well, no, but what did you bring, like, from your own personality or whatnot to the role?
Paul and I wrote the backstory for Kevin.
Oh, okay.
You know, to be different than myself, only for the fact that, you know, he had a different upbringing than myself.
Okay.
And so, obviously, I don't know, there are similarities between us, and I bring a little bit of myself to each of the roles that I play.
Kevin's a genuinely nice guy. You're a genuinely nice guy.
Or so you think.
I mean, I've known you for a little while. I feel like I can say that.
Yes, but now he's waiting to spring the trap.
Right? You've known me for a few years.
Evil plans have come to fruition.
There's no evil trap to spring. I know that there's, you know...
Are you secretly a vampire? What's going on?
I would say that the similarity between Kevin and myself mainly is that, you know, we're in the storyline of American Pie, we're sort of the character that everyone can relate to, versus, you know, the other sort of characters that are kind of like people we know.
Yeah, okay.
We all have friends that are kind of like Stifler.
Uh-huh.
And Jason.
Or Jason.
Yep, uh-huh. My good friends just like Jason.
Yeah. I knew a Stifler. Yeah.
He was down
to have relations with anyone.
Do we all have friends like N.E.K. Thomas?
Yeah.
You wish.
You wish?
I don't have any friends that slept with my mom. Pretty sure.
Well, I don't mean like the details. I mean like the type of personality, the sort of the oddball of the group.
Oh.
I was the normal guy.
Sure.
I would venture to say that I'm fairly normal, considering that, you know, I've been working in the business for 30 years. I should be a lot weirder than I am.
Well, you're going to be back in town at the end of August, right?
I'm going to be back in town.
Why don't you just move here?
At the end of July.
It's a nice town.
As well.
Oh, in the end of July.
He started telling people he owns a house like 3 blocks from here.
I got a house in Easton. It's cool.
Oh, nice.
It's a good spot. That's
yeah,
nice.
It's a good spot. Yeah,
you picked the nice area of town.
I don't know. That's just where the Barnes & Noble was. That's the only place I know. Like, that's like a, you know.
But
like
a little bit of trivia, since you're a baseball fan, Mo Vaughn used to live there. Like,
oh, really?
In those apartments, in those condos across
from
that.
No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm
yeah, used to in a while, because apparently the rumor was that his wife was from Columbus.
Okay.
And so in the offseason, he would come back and live there in Easton. So there you go. A little baseball trivia for you.
So you would have lived next to him.
I would have looked, yeah.
That
really
might have gotten ugly,
because
you're a Cubs fan, right? That would have butted heads with Mo Vaughn, maybe?
I don't think I like to butt heads with anyone.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe not Mo, especially this big dude.
I gotta say, I saw your Schmodown match. It was awesome.
Right on, thank you.
I was rooting for you, man.
That's Lanny's friend, Matt Black, which is how I even got introduced to... The whole
thing. I introduce
schmodown.
People, then they do schmodowns together.
Yeah, Christian and Mark are awesome. You guys
I think I'm.
Tom
I,
lost.
I think I lost.
Oh, game over. Doo-doo.
I know the feeling. You know what it's like to lose this weekend.
Yeah, we he just recently got beat in Remake Revolution, a little like pseudo game show we do.
You don't have the belts hanging up somewhere?
We have them. They're in the vault right now. We locked
the vault.
Them away. They're
I'm
safe.
Not going to steal the belts back.
I don't know that for sure.
You know what? I'm glad. No,
oh,
you know what? Let's talk about them. We can settle our beef later.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I know you guys asked earlier, and we sort of skimmed over. We don't have any official announcements yet, but we're hoping to have some soon. We're in some conversations right now that are great, and to have some actors reading the script that we're really excited about, and so we may have some formal announcements really soon. And obviously, we'll send it to you guys. Right away, because you guys have been so supportive of the project from the beginning. So as soon as we can, we'll let you know for sure.
Awesome.
You and all your fans. We're part of the Three Geek Podcast family.
Yeah.
And where are some of those fine places on the social medias, as the kids call it? Or maybe they don't call it that. I don't know.
Our Facebook page is Handbook for Mortals. Our Instagram is Handbook for Mortals. Our Twitter is Handbook Series. And our website is handbookseries.com. We also, if you go on the website and you go to contact and you put your name and email address, and then you say like add me to the mailing list, we'll add you to our mailing list, where we'll be sending a newsletter at some point. We've actually sent no newsletters so far. So if you are like, hey, I haven't gotten a newsletter yet, we haven't sent one, but we will as soon as we have some more official updates. So go join the mailing list.
Send newsletters like, hey, we're still working on stuff. Can't tell you anything officially. Just letting you know we're still around.
Well, we have, like, when people come and buy the book now at the table, we ask them if they want to sign up. And we had one guy that was like, well, how often are you going to email me? And I'm like, well,
Every day, sir.
Like, we started doing this, like, last September, and so far we've sent out zero newsletters, so I don't think you're going to feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's, like, completely unbothered, but you know that we're out there thinking of you.
But on our Facebook page and Instagram and stuff, we post, like, especially Facebook, we post, like, fun videos, like, John Berryman turns us upside down, and actually, Billy Boyd has made a play to want to play Zaid. He's said that he thinks he can play a young woman from Tennessee, even though he's an older Scottish gentleman. But, he won't do the Southern accent for us, though.
He says he's saving it for day one.
Yeah.
Smart move on his behalf.
Yeah, it might be smart the right move. Call. You know, all you can do is get him in there, like maybe do see how he runs the lines. You know, if he's feeling it. And works it. I mean, why not, right?
Well, feel free to leave comments on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter if you think that Billy Boyd should play Zaid. I'd love to know what you think.
I'm going to do that, like, right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go so you can do that.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for chatting with us.
Let me play video games.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Tom's like, can more interviews be like this? Can I just play video games?
All the interviews with us can be like this.
Next time CNN calls, goes, wait, I'm not doing the interview. I need the Super Nintendo. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here with Tony. Tony, you stopped by the table and purchased Staunch Ambition.
Yes, I did.
And you got issues 1 and 2. If you don't mind me asking, why'd you decide to stop by the table? What drew you? Was it the display? Was it the book itself?
Well, I saw you guys at Space a couple months ago and didn't pick it up, but then saw you again here. And also, I was talking to my friend Craig over there who does the Ineffables, and he said you were cool and to try it.
Oh, so there you go. We got the seal of approval from Craig. How about that?
He's a good guy.
Yeah, most definitely, great. Most definitely. So, what brings you to the con?
Well, I've been reading comics for a while and just checking out the stuff.
And you said you haven't been down here to Wizard World in a while, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so what have you liked so far about Wizard World? Is that a loaded question?
Bootleg DVDs.
Hey, man, they're here.
Jewel's
right?
Here, too.
So, yeah, I know. In fact, I have a story about that in a minute. But anyways, well, Tony, thank you very much, man. Right. You have to let us know how you like it.
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Cato Kalin here at Wizard World. Cato, how are you?
I'm great. I love Wizard World. We're in Columbus. I've got fans everywhere, and I'm loving it. Oh, my goodness. Look at the show.
We have fans mobbing Cato right now.
I can't believe that. It's good to see you, dog. I'm at the Marriott. I'll talk to you in a bit.
So how's the weekend been here in Columbus?
That's fantastic. The people, I did quite a few interviews, and honestly, I've traveled to my 27th city. And I'm originally from Wisconsin. I love the Midwest, and people have been just so great. And every city is just great. The best people come out to all the Comic-Con Wizard World events. I'm not kidding, just saying that. It's really true. Guys like yourself, three geeks. Come on, how can you not love you guys?
That's true. So let's talk real quickly, because I saw a small snippet with you on our local news that Sharknado 6 is coming up, right? And you have a small role in that?
Everybody's got a small role in that. Yeah. They have a shark here. I just did a quick promo of me riding the shark over at Mike's Hard Lemonade. Yes, I told them, I said, I'll do Sharknado if you guys call it Sharkado.
Nice. So why do you think it's a phenomenon? Why do you think those movies are so successful?
Well, I think the first one just kind of, they didn't even know that. I talked to the director. They had no idea it was going to be successful. It just hit a nerve in America, like this little niche, and people started loving it. The more ridiculous it became, and it just, you know, it's got comedy in there. They play it straight.
Sure,
it's very much, it's Airplane. Although, Airplane is genius, of course, but Sharknado is terrific.
Yeah, sure. It's got that cheese factor to it, but it's excellent. Do you have any other future projects coming up?
Yeah, I wrote something and sold it. We'll see if it gets on air, called Wrong Place, Wrong Time. It's a true crime show, and I'd be the host of. And it's about people that get caught up in a crime. They're ancillary to the crime, and they're on the sidelines of crime. And we'll see what happens to that. But it just got sold, and now the next step is getting it on the air. And tons. lots of stuff just going on. We just sold the rights to Wizard World. We're going to Asia. We'll have probably a game show soon. A lot of that is me as a host. And we'll probably be going to Japan, Beijing, everywhere. It's getting very, very big.
I have a question for you. Since you brought up the being on the side of a crime, how does it feel that all that stuff came back up last year? With all the shows and the documentaries and all that stuff.
There's nothing I can do about it because it just came up. It's it's trial of the century. It'll always come up the rest of my life.
That's something
I put.
But
yeah, I do. I'm just it's behind me, and nothing I can do about the past. I live for the future, guys. You know that. I'm all about happening now.
Dude, your energy level at these things is amazing.
I'm sorry, say it again.
The energy level that you bring to the cons is amazing.
I'm sorry, I was napping. One more time. I'm kidding, folks, please. It's one of the nerds. I'm there with you, baby. Yeah. No, I love it. I love the energy. Well, look, I actually steal the energy from the crowd.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Believe me, when you travel, I'm on LA time, and you come to the East Coast, you have 3 hours earlier, it is hard. And I just got to keep it going for the duration.
You do a good job, man. 8-10 hour days.
Yeah.
I'd be tired. I'd be sleeping.
Well, I am tired. Trust me.
All right. Well, with that, we're not going to keep you because we know you got a lot of responsibilities. So thank you very much, Kato.
All
right. There you go.
We'll see you guys. Please.
All righty. Thank you.
I'm on Instagram too. Oh, check out my fun stories at Kato_Kaelin. I'm Kaelin. Kato_Kaelin. Do that now. I'm seriously. Now.
All right. Thank you, Kato.
All right, so folks, we're sitting down with Kevin Sorbo, a.k.a. Hercules. Kevin, how are you this afternoon?
Very good. Can you guys see that? There you go.
So how's the con been so far for you?
It seemed pretty slow for Friday. It seems pretty slow. I hope it picks up for tomorrow for sure because usually Fridays are pretty decent, but I don't know what's going on. I think everybody's at home hoping that the LeBron and company don't get their butts kicked.
Are you rooting for Cleveland or Golden State?
I just like a good series.
So
you're kind of disappointed is what you're saying.
It hasn't been a very stellar series for me.
LeBron's got not a lot to deal with versus the super team, so I mean it's kind of crappy for him.
When they got brought in Durant, that was just an extra piece of the puzzle that made it pretty tough. You know,
are you a big basketball fan?
I'm a big college fan. I love college hoops and football. I probably watch more NFL and the pros than I watch NBA.
Gotcha.
I don't have a lot of time to watch TV, so when I do, I got my computer in my lap like you do now, and I'm always doing work. And what's great about sports on TV is if you miss a good play, they're going to show the replay right away. I'll watch. I don't know, it starts at 8 o'clock tonight, the game?
I think it's a 9 o'clock start, actually.
I'll be in my room watching it then. So.
Excellent. So, obviously, you're most known for being Hercules.
Sure.
So, if you could be any other god or demigod, who would it be? If you couldn't be Hercules, could you pick another
one? I'll be Zeus. Age me up a little bit. I'm Zeus.
Excellent answer.
Maybe the king of the gods, for crying out loud. If it wasn't for Hercules, I wouldn't have the success I've had. I mean, Andromeda I did for 5 years. That was the first show that Gene Roddenberry created after Star Trek. He wrote it in 1969. And it's funny, you got a Spock bit up here right now. And when I moved back to L.A., after I was 7 years in New Zealand and 5 years in Canada. So I was out of the country for 12 straight years. When I finally moved back, my wife and I, we bought a home over by UCLA. I'm walking the streets, and Leonard comes walking at me. He goes, "Kevin, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I just bought a house here." He goes, "I live right here." So I was his neighbor.
Really?
For 3.5 years before we moved even further out of LA. So
never catch him, like, poking around in your yard.
Well, I got to know him from doing Comic-Cons. That's how I got to know Leonard.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Can I ask about one of your earlier roles?
Go ahead.
Okay, you were on an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
I was.
Are you aware of the conspiracy theory that many people put out there that actually Jessica Fletcher is the murderer and is like a serial killer?
Well, look at
because
it.
She's that, always the that, one that solves the
that
murder.
That little tiny town, don't go there because people die.
Right, exactly.
Every week somebody dies in a town of 3,000 people.
I mean, I guess 52 deaths a year isn't that bad.
You know, it's pretty funny. Exactly. It's pretty funny. She invited me into her camper with her husband at lunch. Right, the third day I was on the set. And I come walk out, the whole crew's looking at me going, "She never invites somebody in her camper." And then I find out a day later, she wanted to check me out and set me up with her niece on a blind date.
Were you already married at the time?
No, I was a single man, so I went on the blind date. So.
All right, well, there you go. Victory, everyone
wins all
the way around.
But the chemistry just wasn't there.
All right. Hey, doing some research, your mom was a teacher?
My father was a teacher.
Your father was a teacher, okay.
And my mom was a nurse.
Okay.
My dad's name was Lynn. So you probably thought that's a woman's name. So I also thought my dad's name was not a great name until Lynn Swann came along for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, Dad, your name is awesome.
He brought it back. He brought it back for sure.
I'm busted. That was straight up. I'm busted. Anyway, so your dad was a teacher. Were you in the same school that he taught in?
I was, but my older brothers had him as a teacher, biology and math, and they warned me, don't take dad. Because you won't get a break. He'll actually be harder on you.
So I
took somebody else as a teacher instead of my dad.
I always feel bad for that.
He didn't want to show favoritism.
Yeah, no.
So he was tougher on his kids.
But I mean, that's a reverse, though. I mean, it's not fair to you guys. I mean, he should be fair and impartial.
He's making it harder for you.
But I mean, did you end up with double the work? You know, it's like summertime, you don't get a break because dad's here teaching.
No. My parents were great. My dad passed 5 years ago. He's my best friend. He's the best man at my wedding.
All right.
And he was a great guy. My mom's still around at 86, so I take care of her. But I mean, my parents were great. I grew up in a little town in Minnesota, so I know winters like you guys know winters. I don't miss them. LA's got its problems. Weather's not one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, can we ask one final question?
Go for it,
Kevin. Since you mentioned that small little town, I know it's Mound, Minnesota.
Mound, Minnesota.
Were you a fan growing up of AWA Pro Wrestling?
I was. Vern Gagne. I used to dock Vern Gagne's boat as a kid.
You're kidding me.
I worked at a restaurant called Alan Alma's. You ever get in beautiful Lake Minnetonka? Mound is on the shores of Lake Minnetonka. My little town was home to Tonka Toys.
Lake Minnetonka.
And I grew up a Lakers fan. Because why?
Because they were originally part of
the Minneapolis Lakers.
Yeah.
Most Laker fans don't even know that.
There are no lakes in LA.
It's the LA Lakers because it was the Minneapolis Lakers. Yep. So there you go.
Excellent. Well, Kevin, thank you for stopping
Come
by.
Come on out to the Comic-Con for crying out loud. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Any projects you want to plug real quick?
Check out Let There Be Lights, my latest movie out on DVD. I directed it as well. It was in theaters November, December. Go to Amazon, go to Best Buy, Walmart. Let There Be Light, my next movie. I'm directing. It's called East Texas Oil. It's a comedy.
Okay.
And we got a great cast. We got Craig T. Nelson. We got Shatner. We got Gail O'Grady. We got Lou Ferrigno. We got a great cast.
Awesome.
We're going to shoot up in Canada.
Awesome. Good luck with that, Kevin.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
KevinSorbo.net.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. All of the fun from this year's Wizard World Columbus. I had a blast. I've said that phrase probably 8 million times, but it's true. I had such a great time. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode and tell you where you can get in touch with me if you want to ask me anything about my experience at Wizard World Columbus. You can do that a couple different ways. First of all, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @PVDMVP. And don't forget about reaching out on Facebook, facebook.com/PVDcast. You can leave me a message over there if you like as well. Hey, if you want to tell somebody where you can get their hands or their ears on this podcast, well, there's a couple different ways they can do that. Tell them they can go to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or they can find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Pod Paradise, Google Play, SoundCloud, the Echo Network, or the Podcast Agogo Network. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.